Grace, mercy, and peace from our Creator and our Lord Jesus Christ to you this morning. Is my hair looking okay? Don't want to be on video with the little bit of hair I got left sticking straight up. All right, so as we all know, graduation season is in full swing. We're in the middle of it. The Senate Assembly comes up, and therefore we know that graduation season's around the corner because most of the time there's always conflicts with at least high school graduations. And the last couple weekends ago, May 14th actually, our middle child, Carly, graduated from Purdue University. Boiler up. And to share the celebration, we invited our parents, Missy's parents, my parents, Carly's godmother, my sister, and her family to stay with us. Hospitality, it's what you do. We offer our space to welcome our relatives to stay. Now, Missy and I live in a 3-bedroom ranch on a partial basement. The influx of people went from Missy and I and our 2 dogs, Norman and Zeus, to Missy's parents, my sister and brother-in-law, and their 1 son, and yeah, Connor also came home for the celebration. So 2 people and 2 dogs went quickly to 10 people and 4 dogs, because Missy's mom and dad brought their dogs as well. It was a great weekend, don't get me wrong. Though we had less personal square footage, we were able to share this milestone with Carly and support her. It was a lot of work, cleaning and preparing meals, but everyone chipped in and brought food to share. And for as long as we have known each other, hospitality allowed us to provide space for sharing, and we learned new things about one another. Henry Nouwen, in his book Reaching Out, defines hospitality as providing space for strangers. He says that the word hospitality has lost its meaning in our society. Hospitality is one of the richest biblical terms that can deepen and broaden our insight in our relationship with our fellow human beings. Space is what people need. Space is what a good advocate helps people discover. Before we go any farther, I want to thank you all for being here. I don't ever want to take for granted that you are here. Whether you're on viewing from online or watching this recorded later, or you are here presently, I just want to say thank you for making this space in your life. Your presence here in this time, making space, is important. And not only because we have this vote of the congregational meeting about the property next to us. Rather, what you are doing here this Sunday, every Sunday, is life-changing. You might think, well, Pastor, that's why we're here. Worship is valuable to us. That's why we come. Yet we all come to worship for personal reasons. Our tradition, our theology, our peace of mind, our guilt, our pride, our humbleness. There are many things that motivate us to bring us to worship. Today, I want to make us aware of the Holy Spirit, the advocate that unites us here. Whether you're turning on your devices or watching this recorded, as we gather here, it's the Spirit that creates this space. What's important is the work that we are allowing ourselves to do. It can be life-changing. Now, some of you might know that the word liturgy is derived from the technical term in ancient Greek as liturgia, which literally means work of the people. Liturgy can also be used to refer specifically to public worship of Christians. As a religious phenomenon, liturgy represents a communal response to and participation in the sacred through activities like praise, thanksgiving, remembrance, supplication, or repentance. These activities, the work that we are doing here, it forms a basis for establishing a relationship with God. This work we are doing right now, this time we set aside to establish a relationship with God, is creating space in our busy or maybe not so busy lives for the Holy Spirit to be noticed. And it is the Holy Spirit that creates space for transformation that works in us as we open ourselves to it. Today is Pentecost, the birthday of the church, when Jesus' promise of the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, is received and remembered. Today, what we want, what our society needs, is space to notice the holy and enter into this dance with the Holy Spirit, the Advocate, and allow her to guide us. You know, as a pastor first starting out, I thought I always had to produce the correct words or phrases to comfort people as they mourn or transition into different stages of life and faith. But then I learned, despite my fumbling words, God was there to help them. What occurred to me is that whenever people are helped, they realize God is present in all things. And the Spirit provides that space they need. As we experience discomfort or trauma, as our society has been, I mean, COVID, Ukraine war, mass shootings, we feel like caged animals. The walls feel like they are closing in on us and exits are few. This closed-in feeling is what despair really means. In this despair, the Holy Spirit, as Advocate, can provide space. Space for the lonely and the strangers to make friends and be heard. Nouwen says, hospitality means primarily creating free space where the stranger can enter and become a friend instead of our enemy. He goes on to show that the purpose of a good parent is to provide hospitality for the child, and the purpose of a good teacher is to provide hospitality to his or her students. Children and students are not properties, but guests. They are not submissive little people whom we must teach, but temporary dwellers who will grow with guidance and hospitality. They are strangers who can become friends by their growth and ours. One of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is to provide space for people. Now, Pastor R.J. Lavin said in one of his sermons, an enormous resistance to learning in homes, schools, and churches would be overcome if hospitality, providing space, could be seen as the real agenda for all places of learning. For example, the church is not an institution forcing us to follow its rules, but a community wherein hospitality can be experienced, a place where strangers can really be friends by the power of the Holy Spirit. A place, as the place is provided, host and guests in homes, schools, and churches, or wherever, discover their own gifts and one another's gifts. Therefore, communication barriers begin to drop in this atmosphere. For example, on the day of Pentecost, Parthians, Medes, Elamites were in Jerusalem. They spoke different languages. They did not understand one another until the Holy Spirit, the great host, came upon them. Then they each heard the good news of Christ in their own language. One of the oldest of all human problems is the communication problem. This problem was evident in the Tower of Babel through human pride. This problem is evident in today in all its complexity and divisiveness. At Pentecost, the Holy Spirit provided space to Parthians, Medes, and Elamites. They heard God, and therefore they began to hear one another. They were crowded into a tiny little world of their own culture and language. They were also members of the largest family in the world, the Christian church, the hallmark of which is they understood one another. We have a communication problem here, still today, between husbands and wives, parents and children, Republicans and Democrats, employers and employees, people of different skin colors and cultures, people with guns and those without. We see things too narrowly, squeezed into dark, truncated space that doesn't have room for a neighbor who is different, who speaks a different language, who lives in a different world. That's our problem, isn't it? We see things through the myopic glasses of my little world, with me standing right in the middle and everything else radiating around me. The gift of the Holy Spirit is the gift of providing space by bringing us closer to God, providing a healing community, thus leading us out of a distorted individualism and isolation. The Holy Spirit provides hospitality, space for strangers to become friends. The gift of the Holy Spirit is also the gift that provides us space to see God in ourselves and in one another. I don't know about you, but whenever I hear this gospel, I always feel bad for Philip, because Jesus seems to put him in his place. Philip's just asking, will you please show us God so we know that we see and we know we'll have it, right? We'll be satisfied then, Jesus. Just show us God. How often have we uttered the same kind of thing whenever we say, God, just let us know you're listening. Let us know that you're present. Show us that you're there. Jesus says, have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen God. How can you say, show us God? Do you not believe that I am in God and God is in me? Seems like Jesus is accusing Philip of not paying attention to all that Jesus has done and said. But what if Jesus is being hospitable? What if Jesus is inviting Philip and the disciples and us to reflect and give space to the holy, especially in a time of fear and guilt? See, right before today's gospel, it's preceded by the foretelling of Jesus' betrayal and the denial of Peter. The disciples are perplexed by their prediction of Jesus, and fear and guilt are growing within them. Not much different than the fear and guilt that we feel and share as our society is full of war and rumors of war and mass shootings and killings and pandemics and illnesses. We wonder. We are like the disciples when asking, what will happen next? And what piece of all this do I play a part? The walls are closing in and the exits are few. We begin to draw back into ourselves, where we are reminded of our failures and our limitations. But Jesus tells us, very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact, will do greater works than these, because I am going to God. We will do greater works than Jesus? Hardly seems possible unless we are given the space to realize God is in relationship with us, because God created us. God comes to us in Jesus Christ and through the Holy Spirit so that we believe he is of God. Jesus continues, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask God, and God will give you another advocate to be with you forever, This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees the Spirit nor knows the Spirit. You know the Spirit because the Spirit abides in you, and the Spirit will be in you. The Spirit abides with us, and the Spirit is in us, which means the Spirit abides with others and is in others. This is the Spirit of truth. As we love one another, Jesus promises to show us this. The Holy Spirit, the host who gives space, is relevant to our real problems today. The Holy Spirit reconciles us to God and to one another by providing space that, my friends, is very good news. The great host of God, the Holy Spirit, is freeing people from guilt and fear today. That, my friends, is the best news of all. The Holy Spirit provides space for you and for me. And in that space, we are free to do what God wants us to do. Well, I can't do anything, many say. I disagree. You can do anything God calls you to do. God frees you, providing you space for you to be yourself, just as God created you to be. The great thing about it, God then sends us out to do the work God wants us to do. The Holy Spirit descends on people who were confused, speaking many different languages. The Spirit offers hospitality and space and brings the result to that confusion of understanding and communication. The Holy Spirit provides a space for strangers to become friends. And a good advocate helps people come to terms with guilt, fear, resentment, and alienation. The Holy Spirit, the hospitality giver, does just that, then invites us to pass it on. Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not let them be afraid." Truly, my friends, we are freed in the Spirit to create space and love one another. Amen.